everybody. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, our guests are Diana Dressler and Cecilia Mendoza, married for 2 months. Congratulations, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Cecilia has 2 master's degrees and a PhD in education. After being retired, she started an educational consulting business and is currently working with teachers in Taiwan, providing training on English language development. She is married to her adventurous soulmate, Diana, and together they travel the world. Cecilia also has 2 daughters, and we can't wait to hear more about that. Hello, Cecilia.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
So welcome.
Diana spent her career working for the Department of Defense, managing government contracts for the Navy and Air Force. Now that she is retired, Diana is currently studying for her boat captain's license. She has 2 daughters and loves to play games and travel. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you for having me. It's great to see you two again.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to speaking with you in more detail and learning about your lives. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of December 7th, 2025. A court in Tokyo ruled earlier this month that the country's ban on marriage equality does not violate the country's constitution. Several court cases in recent years have found the ban unconstitutional, meaning the most recent ruling is an outlier. While Japan is the only G7 country without marriage equality, only Taiwan, Thailand, and Nepal have marriage equality among Asian countries. Japanese newspaper Minichi reported that the judge who delivered the verdict ruled that laws related to same-sex marriage should be left to the parliament first. The Associated Press reported that the judge said defining marriage as between a man and a woman and their children seemed appropriate. Support for marriage equality has increased significantly over the last few years in Japan. One plaintiff, Shino Kiwachi, spoke to a local media saying that the decision was, quote, difficult to comprehend. And last Monday was World AIDS Day, but the U.S. government will no longer commemorate December 1st as World AIDS Day, according to the State Department. The U.S. has commemorated the international observance annually since 1988, including every year of the current president's first term. An email to State Department workers notified employees and grant recipients not to publicly promote the day, and quote, through any communication channels, including social media, media engagements, speeches, or other public-facing messages, end quote. The email did tell employees and grantees that they could still mention various HIV programs and attend World AIDS Day events. The email also reportedly said that the current U.S. government's policy is, quote, to refrain from messaging on any commemorative days, including World AIDS Day, end quote. However, the current president has signed proclamations for various awareness days and other commemorative observances. World AIDS Day is an international day for raising awareness about HIV and AIDS, remembering those who have died from it, and celebrating the progress in prevention, treatment, and care. 2 World Health Organization public information officers started World AIDS Day back in 1988 as a way to raise awareness about the global health challenges. The current administration has drastically cut federal funding for HIV prevention worldwide. An estimated 127,073 adults and 13,527 infant deaths have been caused by the effects of HIV/AIDS due to the current president's cuts in funding for the president's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, otherwise known as PEPFAR. This is a program that has saved an estimated 25 to 26 million lives since its inception back in 2003. The State Department usually issues an annual PEPFAR report on World AIDS Day, but it's unclear if it will do so this year. HIV prevention efforts around the world have suffered their most significant setback in decades due to these funding cuts. Global HIV assistance is projected to drop by 30 to 40% in 2025 compared with 2023. If things continue this way and countries fail to reach the 2030 targets of the next global AIDS strategy, the cuts could result in an additional 3.3 million new HIV infections between 2025 and 2030. Data from 2024 revealed that there are already 570 new HIV infections happening every day globally among young women and girls ages 15 to 24. Now, more than 60% of women-led organizations worldwide have suspended programs. Services for sex workers, people who inject drugs, and LGBTQ+ people, particularly gay men and transgender people, have also been severely impacted. And in the state of Florida, for the fourth year running, representatives have introduced a bill hoping to ban pride flags from government buildings and schools. Despite previous bills failing every year before ever receiving a floor vote in the past, Florida politicians are once again pushing an anti-LGBTQ+ legislation in hopes that this time it will be different. The Florida pride flag ban is a pre-file for the 2026 legislative session, making it one of the first anti-LGBTQ+ bills slated for the next year. If passed, the bill would prevent the pride flag from being flown in or around government buildings, including schools. The specific text of the bill precludes displaying flags which, quote, represent political partisanship, political ideology, race, gender, or sexual orientation, end quote. That means Black Lives Matter flags would also be banned. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, we are talking with Cecilia Mendoza and Diana Dressler. And again, we'd like to thank you for giving us a little time from your very busy schedules. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that the listeners are really curious about this two-month relationship, too much of it being married. But I know there's a long story, so we want to get the story. So let's start with how you both met. That would be great.
Diana, you want to start?
Yeah, no, I'd like to start before we met, because before we met, for about 6 or 8 months before we met, it's ironic that we both happened to be working with a therapist separately, working on ourselves and looking at our past relationships and examining like what went wrong in our past relationships and how we can make a future relationship work, you know. And so we both happened to be working ourselves before we even met. And then I know I was also very involved in caretaking for my mother. So I wasn't in a space to have a relationship. My mother passed in May. And in June, I completed my therapy that I was working, you know, with the therapist on. And then I met Cecilia in July. And it just, everything fell in place. And I wasn't looking for somebody. She just kind of fell into my lap. We met bicycling with a group of bicyclists. And we got the opportunity to... One day, the other cyclist couldn't ride with us, so it was just her and I riding, and we spent the whole day bicycling from Napa up to Yountville, and just very slowly, and talking to each other, and getting to know each other, and
yeah, we had our dogs, so we went to a park, and we walked the dog around the park. We just stretched out the time and spent as much time as we could on that bike ride. Yeah. And then on the way back, we just continued talking. So that was the first, kind of like the very first time that we had some, just our time together. Yeah, it was good.
And you knew you were both single at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So it seemed like it was a natural connection. And then what happened?
We were training for a bike ride in Santa Rosa, and I think it's called Tour de Fuzz. and we both were signed up, and I had an episode with a sciatica on my right side, and so I wasn't able to ride. So I gave my registration to another friend of mine, and she did. She went on the bike. In fact, she went with Diane on the ride. But then shortly after, I got a really nice text message from this person, Diana, saying, "How are you? And I hope you're doing fine." And it was very sweet. And I thought to myself, "Who is this person? Sending me little nice messages, if you will." And then shortly afterwards, we started just communicating, just texting back and forth. Not so much calling, but we definitely text a lot back and forth.
Also, we set up going for hikes, and I remember one hike. I made it an 8 mile hike just to see if she could see if she could do it. And so we went out, and then one of the things she said was, "Well, after the hike, how about if I set up a picnic for us at the lake?" And I'm like, "A friend setting up a picnic? Like, that seemed really strange to me." So we got all these little clues that she might be interested a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I mean it was a very long hike. The thing about Diana that is consistent, and some of her friends may say her sense of length and time is always questionable. So we were walking, she goes, "Oh, we're just right around the corner. We're up this hill, right around the corner." And up the hill, right around the corner, there's another hill right around the corner. So we walked a long way that day, and it was very nice. We spent the entire time just talking. So the time really felt like it just stood still. We both enjoy being outdoors, which also led to, the other walks that we've done since then. But it was very nice. We enjoyed the walk, and we had a nice little picnic by the lake, and that kind of started going on hikes together and going different places together. And I remember early on, she would send me little text messages that were and little stories or little pictures that were really sweet. So we were on another bike ride, and I was trying to be I was trying to be as transparent as possible. So I asked her, I said, I for transparency, are you flirting with me? And we're cycling. And she turned around, she goes, "Yeah, I am. You want me to stop?" And I said, "No." That kind of solidified that, okay, there's something happening here. And we were both moving in that same direction. Yeah.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
So I'm curious, how many years ago was this?
3 years ago.
3 years
Yeah.
ago. Okay. And until you asked, "Are you flirting with me?" Did you guys know that you were each interested in women, or did that ever come up?
Yeah. Well, I have a longer history with lesbian relationships than Diana. So I came out when I was in my mid-20s. So I knew myself well enough at that point. Yeah. And Diana, actually, she has her story, but she came out a little different and a little later than I did.
Well, don't hold back now.
Yeah. So I was married. I got married very young at the age of 20 to my husband. Back then in the late 70s, being gay was not acceptable to my family and society in general. And I wasn't strong enough at that time to live my true life. And so I caved in. I don't know what the word is, but I followed what society and my family would want me to do. And I married a man. And I felt like I was in love with him. He was a really nice guy, treated me well. He supported me and we had 2 daughters together, and we had a pretty good life. But as the years went on, I got to be about 38, I want to say. Maybe I had a midlife crisis. I don't know what, but I just looked at my life and I said, I can't keep living like this. And so I asked him for a divorce. I mean, it was a process. I filed for divorce from him. And yeah, that was when I was like 38 or 39. And that was a hard time for myself and my daughters. But we got past it. Now both of my daughters are, 38 and 42 now, and they have their own families. So anyway, incidentally, they both live here in Napa. So I'm very grateful I have them so close to me.
So were you, Diana, you sharing about your past, your husband, did you have to come out? Did you come out to him, or did you just say, well, this is not working?
I was having an affair with a woman at the back end of our relationship together. And he moved across country and told me to think about our relationship. And I just kept having my affair with this woman, and he actually caught us. So he wanted to find out for himself firsthand that I was having a lesbian relationship. And so I got caught.
Yeah. And so it sounds like it ended up well, I mean, for the family, because your daughters are involved in your life and consistent.
Yeah, eventually he remarried right away within 6 months of our divorce, and he's been married to that woman ever since. And so, I wanted him to find happiness, and I think he has, so. Mm-hmm. It all worked out.
And so you said, Cecilia, when you were 20, you knew about your orientation. So I'm just curious, so mm-hmm. you got together, when did you get married and have your two kids, and how did that play a part?
Well, I got married to a man at 19. Very similar story to Diana's. I was in a very small community in the Central Valley where everybody knew everybody, small, no more than 3,000 people in the entire community. So I also was following what I thought was the norm. And married a man, and that relationship lasted 4 years. And then during that time, I think I had awarenesses that were kind of new to me. And I was in college at the time, so I was able to spend more time trying to figure out what is it that I really wanted to, what I really felt in my heart. And so I filed for divorce as well, and then I came out. I came out with some individuals, some women that I cared for very much. I didn't do a lot of dating. I kind of dated and then got together with that person. And then, when that relationship ended, I dated and got together with that person. So I didn't do a lot of dating. I just kind of met the person and then established a relationship with them. Yeah.
It's kind of like what happened with you and Diana, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So take us to the steps of getting together and then moving in together. And then 3 years later, you're married. Yeah.
Well, I have a quick story. So my therapist was working with me on building my network and friendships, right? And would say to me, Cecilia, start making friends. So then I had a neighbor, and so I was talking with the neighbor, and she goes, "Oh, I have a friend who's a lesbian, and she would be a nice friend." And I said, "Okay." So she was out of the area. When she came back, we met. And I was really set that I was not looking for a relationship. What I was looking for is to build a friendship, building friends. So that was my mindset. I was building friends. So as, trying to meet people, and that's when, my therapist said, make friends. Well, I made a friend and I fell in love with her. And that's Diana, so it's like, okay. So that's the backstory on that one a little bit.
But Diana was different from the other friends, right? Because you married Diana. You didn't marry all those other ones.
Yeah, she was very different. Very different. No, I mean, You know, it's interesting. We shared that we were both working on ourselves in terms of developing and healing from some of our decisions and experiences. But back then, I also was very much involved with the law of attraction, you know, setting intentions and attracting what you want in your life, not letting your life be, you know, just kind of randomly let life happen to you, but how you can add some direction to your life by setting intentions. So I set intentions way before I even met Diana. And I said, okay, the next person I meet, the next person I want to spend my life with, these I have a list of things that I'm looking for. I was very intentional about what I was looking for and why it was important to me. And that actually, I firmly believe that because I manifested that list to myself, that I extended that with Diana. So I attracted her. I firmly believe I attracted her into my life.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Are you going to
Yeah.
share that list with us so Diana can hear it?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Of course. I have it here. So these are things that were and still are pillars for me, or foundational pieces for me. Obviously, I wanted a lesbian. I wanted a woman who was comfortable with who she was. I wanted someone professional slash academic, you know, because I have my doctorate, and I wanted someone who enjoyed the academic side of my life, if you will. Definitely someone who was adventurous, outgoing, and loves to travel. And just like, wow, I met my puzzle piece here, you know, because all the traveling we've done. A non-smoker, a moderate drinker. Diana doesn't drink at all. So, you know, I wanted to be real intentional about the relationship I wanted to be in. Culturally vested and interested because I'm Latina and I wanted to have experiences where my partner, specifically now in this case, Diana, would be interested in going to cultural events and be very vested in learning. And she does. It's wonderful. Financially independent, someone who had their sense of resources and made decisions that were good financial decisions for herself, comfortable with her sexuality, you know, someone who was really comfortable there. A healthy mindset, a person who is mentally, spiritually, and physically healthy. That was real important. Obviously, enjoying cycling, water sports, hiking, you name it, added to the list. Just someone who enjoyed being out in the world, out in the environment. Someone who's a doer, someone who does things, shares with the chores, you know, just someone who contributes, enjoys cooking and sharing meals together, you know, because I love to cook and she also enjoys cooking. Someone who has positive energy, someone who's just looks at life with the glass half full, not half empty, you know, just really positive. Attractive, she's cute as a bug. A Democrat, I wanted someone moderate. And the last one is really critical. I wanted someone who's loving with kids, loves kids, has kids, because I have found that, because I have two daughters. I have found that when someone has their own children, then the relationship is understood about what the needs of the children are. And sometimes you have to pivot and you have to shift. And I didn't want to have to explain why I needed to do that.
Even
Yeah.
grown children.
Even
I mean,
children, yeah.
we're going to be doing stuff for our kids.
Yeah, yeah.
We just helped one of our kids with
Yeah.
the cost for her
Yeah.
IVF
Yeah.
treatments. And,
Yeah.
you know, we'll keep doing stuff for our kids.
You know, and that's really important because we could talk about our four girls and we could say, oh, one of them hiccuped. Okay, we know what to do. We know what we can do, how to support them. The other one's going through this. Okay, what can we do to help them? And Diana's daughters, we see them more frequently because they live close by. One of my daughters works in Windsor, which is about an hour drive from here. And my other daughter lives in Davis, which is approximately another hour. And, you know, I don't see them as frequent as I see Diana's daughters on a fairly weekly basis. So the other thing that Diana did before we knew each other is she would have what's called Mondays with Mimi, because that's her nickname from her grandkids. And so every Monday she would have dinner and her kids would come over for dinner. And so that pretty much has been kind of like a routine.
We still have that tradition. Yeah. We've spaced it out to every other week now.
Yeah.
Just because one of my daughters is working. They both work full time. So it's just easier for them.
Yeah.
But we love that tradition and we're going to we'll be keeping that up.
Yeah, and during the summer, we go to their houses as well. They come to our house because we tend to have the bigger house and the kids have things they could play, the grandkids, they have things they could play here. But during the summer, they invite us to their place because the kids love their outdoor games that they have. So it's a nice balance.
And well, now it's Mondays with Mimi's and Cece.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I want to just comment on that list. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. I mean, very intentional. I can see that. I felt that and the way you went through it. Yeah. And I saw the looks at Diana knowing that she was the one that fulfilled all those. Yes. That's wonderful.
It is wonderful. And it's really futuristic thinking, too, to want somebody who has pretty much a life,
Yeah.
Right? They have a life. You don't want a leech on the couch.
Yeah.
you don't want someone drunk all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
really want a partner in life that meets your life, Cecilia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I especially loved your kids, you know, your talk about your children and that you wanted somebody who had kids. I mean, it makes so much sense to have raised children and to be with someone who has raised children.
Exactly.
To know that children are a priority and that you're doing it together no matter whose daughter it is, you know, or whose grandkids.
We've both been with previous partners that just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And it put a lot of stress on the relationship.
Mm-hmm. So, Diana, your list, was it similar?
I didn't actually write it down, but yeah, I did have attributes I was looking for in somebody that was sporty and that loved adventure and loved to travel. It was very similar.
Mm-hmm. After 8 miles up the hill, and around the corner and up the hill and up the hill, the big test, right, Diana?
Right around the corner.
So it was 4 miles up and 4 miles back, right?
Round trip.
Just all the way around the mountain and then another 4 miles coming down the other way.
So Diana, you were carrying the picnic the whole way?
No, yeah. We had it in the car. We drove over to the lake afterwards. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
It was fun.
Yeah, fun. I'm just curious, Diana, how was it to listen to that list again?
It's just so amazing that I fit every single one of those. I'm just like, it's mind blowing. I'm like, I'm every one of those that she listed.
She's not a modded drinker. She doesn't drink.
Oh, yeah. I have to drink every once in a while, but it's not that I don't drink. And in fact, the last time I had two drinks was on our wedding day, and I woke up not feeling well the next morning.
So we're going to have to hear about the wedding
after our break.
After our break.
Definitely. Yeah, because we really want to delve into that beautiful day.
Okay.
So talking about a break, we can go into our music break. And you all brought a song. And so I'd like to invite whoever would like to introduce the song, who sings it, what it's called, and why this song.
You want to introduce it?
Sure. The song is called A Thousand Years by Christina Perry. It was the song that we danced to at our wedding. It's meaningful to us because we feel like we've known each other for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. So early on in the relationship, we would listen to music, and there's some songs that just resonated with us. And so Diana has a playlist. And so we would listen to this playlist, and, you know, definitely that song was on it. The other song, you know, I'm Yours by Andy Grammer was on it, and that's the one that I thought I was going to be able to do a superior job singing at the wedding. That was just my attempt to show her how much I care for her. And so again, these songs are, you know, things that resonate with us, you know, so 1,000 years. So we really like that song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. We'll enjoy 1,000 Years by Christina Perry, and we will see you on the other side. Listening to 1,000 Years by Christina Perry. Thank you so much for bringing that song to us. We are talking with Cecilia Mendoza and Diana Dressler. In our first segment, we were talking about your wedding. And so as promised,
we want more of that story. So there are some stories leading up to the wedding. So who wants to start sharing that? Diana, Cecilia?
Well, I could share what my version, right? My version of this. So when we got together, Diana would talk about the Camino. And I didn't know what the Camino was. And that's the pilgrimage walk from, it could be, you could go from France into Spain, or you could go from Portugal up to Spain. And she had already completed two of those walks. She already did the 500-mile French Way walk. And then she had done another one from the central Camino from Portugal up to Santiago, Spain. So she was talking to me about this, and I thought, oh, I haven't heard about it, so let's do that. And so we started to walk and train for it. So we made our way to Portugal. So again, I didn't know what to experience or what to expect. She knew. And I was a bit of a chatty thing, you know, at the very first walk, You know, we're chatting and I'm just talking. I tend to talk more than she does anyway. And then it took me about maybe 2 to 3 days to quiet down. You know, it took us a while to walk the 200 plus miles. So we did the Camino, we finished the Camino. We got to Santiago, Spain. We were there at the cathedral. It's a really amazing feeling to walk and walk through the it's not the town, but it's like the old section of town, you know, the stone walls around the town and the cathedrals in the middle of it, and people clapping and saying good job and all. It's just really nice. So then we felt really good. And then following that, so let me also back up a little bit. We both took some stone rocks with us. I took one for my mother who passed away and one for my brother who passed away. And then we took one for each other. And Diana took one for her mother. So we get to Santiago, Spain, and then we take a bus to go to Finisterre. And Finisterre is where the explorers would say that's the end of the world. So it's the most western part of Europe. And so at the base of it is a big cross. You have to walk up another hill, right? The big cross. And so I laid my stones for my mother and my brother there. Diana found another place for her mother, her stone. And then we were just walking around. And we were taking pictures, and Diana jumps over a little fence and walks down to the edge of the cliff where the ocean is down below her. And she says,
I'm
make
going
sure.
to throw my rock out into the ocean. So film me, film
Film me.
me.
And I go, okay, so I'm making my way down there, and she has this rock and she's ready to pitch it into the ocean. And I'm saying, okay, let me get videotape. And then she turns right around and says, Cecilia Mendoza, will you marry me? And I'm going like, and I think I said, oh shit. Did you just ask me to marry you? And I said, yes, I'll marry you. And then she gets this hard rock of ours, and she just flung it out into the ocean. So what she told me is that she wanted to, this was a test. I didn't know I was a walking test to see if I met her criteria. So that was a cute story about that.
And
So
so we got married a little over 2 years after that.
So it was fun. You know, the thing that I so love and appreciate about Diana is her adventurous soul, right? So she took me on this Camino, and for me, the Camino was transformative. I was so fortunate to release so much stuff that I came back, I feel a different person. A different person, very a much more forgiving. Now, I still have work on that, but a lot more forgiving and being more authentic to who I am. That was a very cathartic process that I really enjoyed as we went through there. And then the following year, she and I cycled from Germany to Hungary along the Danube River, 400 miles. So we just love being outdoors doing activities like that. And then we just finished walking the Via Francigena, which is from Lucca to Vatican City in Italy, and really enjoyed that. It was hard because Italy has lots of hills. But the thing about it is that we just love doing that. And I just found that
We
she's
yeah we're we've found that we're very
compatible.
compatible traveling. We're really kind of, I don't know, strange, but Cecilia and I haven't really had a huge argument since
We
we've known each
haven't.
other.
Yeah.
And we just I don't know if that's because we're more mature, we've had previous relationships, and we've kind of figured things out, and it seems to be working now for us.
Well, we talk, our communication really is you know, again, part of my work to myself and prior to working, I mean, being with Diana is not stuffing stuff, you know, and just talking. And If something bothers me, I
let it out.
I share it with her. Mm-hmm. I tend to be a lot more direct than Diana. If I get, I don't have the softness around me sometimes. So I'll say, I'll just kind of say, this is it. This is just my logical process, right?
And I learned through therapy that you should always lead with love. So I was taught that you come into a discussion, you know, and you say, baby, I love you so much. There's so much I like about you. Can we work on this one thing together? You know,
so
sopping them up first.
So I have learned to share my thoughts and my opinions and things of that nature. And it really has helped significantly in terms of just releasing the stuff, you know.
Not holding on to it. Yeah. Festering. Yeah.
Holding on to it. Not at all. Not at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we took this class, this online little course. It's a course. It's called How to Have a Ridiculously Happy Relationship. And it talked about red flags and pink post-its. But one of the things, it has like three pillars that you ask yourself before you get engaged in some antagonist feelings or anything. The question is, does she love me? Yes. Does she have high integrity? Yes. Does she mean well? Yes. So when you stop and pause and ask those questions, whatever was creating the anxiety lessens. And you still can talk about it, but you don't have that charge in that.
It triggers,
you know? Yeah. You just, it's a lot more soothing to be able to use that. And we use it. We use it all the time. Mm-hmm. I use it all the time, you know, it's just thinking about that. I mean, we're not perfect. No count. We're not. But we work toward making sure that we're okay with each other. We check in with each other all the time. And it's good. It's good.
Beautiful. I love those three questions. And if you could say them again for the listeners so they can kind of, because, you know, a lot of people have relationship issues out there in the world. And the way you are dealing with yours, is it maturity or is it just you've done the work with your therapy, watching stuff online?
Yeah. So one of the questions is, does she mean well? Did mm-hmm. she mean like, did she really mean what she said, or was it kind of flippant? You know,
yeah, does she mean well?
Overall, does she mean well? Does she have high integrity? You mm-hmm. know, and I wouldn't be with Cecilia if she didn't have high integrity. So that's always mm-hmm. a no-brainer for me. And I know she loves me. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, but when yeah. when you have those as your, I don't know, your cornerstones, if you will, you still could have a conversation about something that's bothering you, but it's not charged. You know, you don't have that, you know, it's easier to have a conversation and talk about things. You know, this little course also talked about red flags and not ignoring red flags, identifying the red flags and, you know, having a red flag. You need to talk about it. You need to say, this is something that is important. Yeah. Yeah.
We both have had previous relationships that we've had red flags right off the bat and didn't pay attention to them.
We ignored them.
Thought, oh, well, you know, we yeah. can work on that. It'll get better or whatever. Well, yeah. a lot of times it doesn't.
Yeah.
So neither one of us found any red flags in each other. Mm-hmm. We have these things called pink post-it notes, which are just like little issues that we need to talk about,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but nothing major.
And where are these post-it notes? Where do they live?
Well, I'll give you an example of a post-it, red flag, shift to post-it notes. Okay. I went to a family get together in South Lake Tahoe and I had more to drink than I needed to, right, that night. So I make my way, and Diana left the gathering early. And so I made my way to the bedroom and she says, is this the way it's going to be? Because if it is,
I'm leaving right now. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. So her red flag shifted to, and then my response to her is, you will not see me this way again. You will not see me this way. So that's our pink post-it, you know. And if there's times, you know, that she thinks that maybe I've had one glass too many, she'll give me a nudge, and that's her post-it, you know, a little pink post-it. But it was the pivot that shifted from a red flag, I'm not going to deal with this, for me to internalize and value her over the wine or over the drinking, right? And it's just like, no, I choose you. I choose you. And those were part of my vows to her as well, is that I choose you. So it's just an example.
So on that same situation, Diana, when you said, is this how it's going to be? Was that hard for you to say that?
Yeah, but it was really hard, but I wanted to nip it in the bud. You know, it was like, if you're going to be like this, this is not what I want. Mm-hmm. And I needed to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important, especially in a new relationship, to be able to be honest with one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what you wanted, right, Cecilia, yeah, that honesty in a mm-hmm. relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want somebody present, you know, present, somebody that would be intoxicated part of the time or whatever.
So tell us, why the decision to get married?
I think for me is we wanted to make a public commitment or statement to each other in front of our family and our closest friends so that they knew how serious we were, you know, and
that we're in it. This is, and I often say this to Diana, this is the last relationship. This is it.
Yeah,
It's like, I will do everything I can to ensure that this relationship is healthy, happy, flourishing. So when we talked, I mean, when we were in the cliffs of Finisterre, it was really cute for her to say, you know, ask me to marry her. And we came back from that trip real excited. And then, you know, life continued. And then we made some decisions about living together. And I think one of the pivotal decisions we made is we both decided to sell our houses that we had and buy a house together. So we wanted our footprint
we wanted a clean slate.
We wanted our footprint in our house.
I had memories in my old house and she had memories in her own house.
Yeah.
And we just decided to wipe the slate clean and start fresh and build our own memories together.
Yeah.
I know that's hard for a lot of people to do.
Yeah, but for us, you know, again, once we realize how important it is for us to have our footprint, our own, you know, calling our house ours without having this thing of like, oh, you did that with so-and-so, or you did that over here, you know, and the houses were just a house, you know, it was a structure. The love was the love that I have for Diana. And so it didn't take, and I had owned my house for over 20 years, and she had her house for a long period of time too, her mother's and then hers. And so we did, we sold a house. We bought a house.
It was hard to let it go, you know, to let our homes go, but we knew that it was the right thing to do for us.
I didn't have regrets. I didn't have any regrets. It was like, yeah. So anyway, so we did that. And then we thought, you know, well, we have a home together where we work together on the house constantly. And we thought, well, let's just go ahead and get married. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're both retired now, so
yeah,
our bedroom overlooks the Napa River and the mountains, and we have unobstructed view, and the sunrise comes into our room every morning, and mm-hmm. so every morning we actually spend a good 2 hours in bed having our coffee and tea and just having a slow morning.
We
talk and...
So we typically get up at 5 a.m. and we converted a little closet into like a coffee and tea bar. So we have our coffee, we brew our coffee and the tea, and we sit and look out the window and
We're on the third floor of our home, so we have an amazing
View,
view and we watch the sunrise every morning.
And that's our time. That's our time. And we don't schedule anything else other than just spending that quality time together, having coffee and tea, scratching the dog, that kind of thing. But it's nice. It's like we look forward to it every single morning.
What a love story.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It's nice. So we made a decision that we were going to get married, and we wanted to, we went all over the place. We thought at first we were going to rent a boat and go out on the bay, and then that didn't work. There were so many, every time there's a plan on going on a boat somewhere, then there's limitations. And so then we thought, let's just go ahead and get married here at our house. And we did. And
We made it
we
work.
made it work. We had a progression from the front of the house to the back of the house, back to the front of the house, back to the back, just to make all the logistics of the wedding work. And what was really special for us is that we had the people attend who wanted to be there and loved us.
So
And
we had
we had
aunt, we had sisters and brothers and nieces and nephews and
And
just
it was nice. My two daughters escorted me down, and Diane down to, from the back of the house over to where the arch was, where we built a little arch out of driftwood. And then her two daughters also escorted her down there. And then I had, I don't know what it is, some illusions that I could play a guitar and sing a song at the same time, right? So I attempted to learn to play a guitar, and I just was not able to pull that off. And then I thought, well, if I can't play the guitar, maybe I could sing the song. So I had promised her. She was giving me all kinds of outs. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to sing it. You're okay. But I was determined. I figured as long as someone didn't shoot me into singing, I was going to be fine. So I sang a song to her about I'm Yours.
It was very special,
There
very
is,
special.
I mean, it was fun in a strange way. But it was me. It was me being authentic and true to myself. And it just like people would say, well, what do you think people would say? I don't care. I don't care. Whatever comes out, comes out. I mean, the song, it comes from my heart. So that's what I did. So we had our wedding here, and we had a wonderful time, and we danced and ate dinner. It was just nice. It was a nice celebration that we have here.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. Time's flying by, but I still have to ask about that. You said you wake up in the morning, the sun rises, you have this beautiful view. And so, in your introduction, your bio, Diana, you talked about your captain's license. So that's the next adventure, going around the river or something.
Yeah, we recently bought a little boat, an electric Duffy, it's called. It holds about 10 people, and it's like being in a little living room on this boat. But anyway, our thought is in the future, like within the next year, is we might start a business where we take people on tours down the Napa River, and we're going to call it Napa
Napa River.
River Tours and Tasting. So we will have wine tasting on this little boat as well.
And non-alcoholic drinks as well.
So in order to do that, you got to have a licensed captain to run this boat. And so that's me. So I've been studying. I'm working towards it and I'm logging miles on the boat or hours on the boat. And yeah, so don't know where that's going to take us, but it sounds like a great little side job in retirement.
Well, here's the thing. It's a slow boat, right? So it's not it's just leisure. It's just like floating on the water. just hanging
Very
out.
relaxing.
Very relaxing. And it's electric, so you don't hear noise. It's just
Don't
you.
smell an engine.
Yeah, it's
It
just
did.
nice. It's really nice. So, yeah.
Hey, this is a great plug. I mean, you don't have a website or anything yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. Okay, but do you know, have people, the listeners, hey, you got a business there. That's a good one.
Yeah, Napa River tours and tasting.
There you go. Keep your eye out on that. Yeah.
Coming toward you soon.
Yeah, you could do your commercial. There you go.
Oh, we want to thank you so much for being on our show.
There's so much more I want to ask, but you're running out of time, so.
We always like to ask our guests if they have words of wisdom before we end our show. You have given a lot of words of wisdom throughout this interview, but to wrap things up, what would you like the listeners to know? And each of you will get an opportunity to answer. So, who'd like to go first?
I just want to, the name of our boat is Taking It Slow. And I just want to tell people, tell listeners to just take your relationship in slow motion. Don't be in a hurry. I know a lot of lesbians want to get the U-Haul on the second date and all that. But if you really take it slow, get to know the person before you make a huge commitment to them. And that's what I told Cecilia, that's why we didn't get married for 3 years. We would have got married the first year if we didn't take it slow. And also, the journey is everything. You want to say something about that? You
Yeah, I
have that
mean,
hanging on in our
in
bedroom.
our bedroom. So one of the things that I would like to share with the audience is that, you never know how many days you have on this earth, right? So every day, make the very best to be present, to be loving, to enjoy the day. I mean, and I know people are working. We have the leisure at this point of being retired, but find something every day that you can do to add love and excitement and value to your relationship. Could be little things, little post-it, doesn't matter what it is, just something that brings, that element of I'm present, I'm thinking of you, I love you.
Say I love you often. We
Yeah.
pass each other in the hall going
Just moving around.
wherever, and we always give each other a kiss as we're passing by, and
So anyway, so yeah, I mean, just be present and enjoy life now. We have this other little motto that we say to ourselves and when we're having conversations, why not? So our why not is, we want to go somewhere. Okay, why not? Let's go. Let's try it. Let's see what life is like now. We don't want to save it for later. We want to enjoy it now. Yeah, so that's what we say.
Beautiful. And I'm thinking another line to that is never too late because you two did it. You two found each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's 70 and I'm 66, and we found each other late in life, but definitely worth waiting for.
And I'm taking care of myself for the next 20, 25 years, hopefully.
Keep doing those miles.
There you go. There you go.
Those hills and around the corners. We want to thank you so much for being on our show. We want everyone to remember that just like Diana and Cecilia, you too can be living proof that through being visible and vibrant and finding your joy, you too can make this world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then, good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCBFM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCBFM Roanoke Park and KRCGFM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. The Jazz Hot is next.